the professor asked me, he said, what is the basis of all life on earth? And I immediately answered, the correct answer, which if we think about it, is the sun. Because without the sun shining down on us and hitting the green plants and the chlorophyll in the green plants and causing photosynthesis, as they say, and that gives off oxygen, and the oxygen then we humans breathe in, and so it's a cycle of life. We then breathe out carbon dioxide. The plants will use that with the sun coming down to make their photosynthesis, and it starts all over again. And this is the basis of life on earth. And it just so happens that God has placed us in a situation where we're at the right distance from that sun to make all this life work in a biological sense. I recently read an article that I'm going to quote some from today on the most important part of our body, you might say, that's no bigger than your fist, that causes all of this, our life, to work. And that's the heart, the human heart. And it's a fact that its small size belies the unique and vital role it plays in your life, because that oxygen that I was talking about, the heart, it goes to the lungs. The blood vessels from the lungs pick it up, and they take that oxygenated blood to the heart. The heart will then send out that oxygenated blood to parts of the body, which I'll talk about in just a second here, that need it. But anyway, hour by hour, minute by minute, and even second by second, you depend on this heart. Yet unless there is something wrong with it, we often fail to give it even a second thought. So it's a biological marvel of God's creation that would be the pride of any engineer on this planet. Consider just a few of the reasons, and I'm going to talk about the heart here for just a few minutes. One of the heart's main purposes, as I said, is to keep blood coursing through our bodies. It collects from our lungs that much needed oxygen, and it distributes that oxygen throughout the body to each cell, which requires that to live. To this, the one heart has to receive blood simultaneously from two different sources. Now, I look at it as if you're taking notes, you could draw a box and then put an X in the box, four different compartments. And that would give you an outline of what the heart is like, and since I don't have a picture to give you. The one heart has to receive blood simultaneously from two different sources. It receives it from the lungs, which is oxygenated, and it receives it from the body, which needs oxygen, and sends it back out in two different directions. This ingeniously designed and deceptively simple structure of the heart makes this feat possible. In the first step, the heart receives blood in its top two chambers, the atria, which are a little smaller. The right atrium fills with this used oxygen depleted blood from the body. The left atrium fills with fresh oxygen rich blood from the lungs, and with a squeeze the atria send their individual contents to two larger muscular ventricles in the bottom of the heart. They then squeeze, the right ventricle sends the used blood to the lungs to get some more oxygen. The left ventricle sends its fresh blood to the rest of the body. So as marvelous as these muscle chambers may be, they cannot do their job without four valves in between. Two atria, two ventricles, and you got four valves, two on each side. They're in between. And they open and close at just the right times to keep blood flowing in the right direction that it needs to go. In fact, it is perfectly timed, this perfectly timed closing of these valves in synchronized pairs that creates the familiar lub-dub sound of your heartbeat. Lub-dub, lub-dub, lub-dub. Two valves below the atria slam shut as the ventricles send blood into the body. Dub those atrial valves reopen while the other pair slam shut, so the ventricles can be filled again. Love dub, love dub. This simple sound emanating from your chest represents an intricately designed dance of muscle, nerve, and valves that keeps you alive every second of every day. Now, those who are atheistic would say, well, that's evolution in progress. Well, how would all of that have coordinated together at one time? Hard to imagine. Love dub, that simple sound represents an intricately designed dance of muscle, as I say. Mitral valve prolapse, for instance, that some of you may have heard of or may have, is where these valves don't close smoothly. And so you have that problem of leakage of blood from one source, from one place to the other, atrius to the ventricles. When did this dance begin? Believe it or not, your heart began to beat about 3 weeks after you were conceived. 3 weeks, and you were no bigger than a poppy seed. Even before you had a brain, your heart was already working hard at the job it would perform the rest of your life. With that in mind, try this quickly. Squeeze your hand into a tight fist, and over again at a rate of 70 times per minute. Your heart beats 70 times per minute, most people. How long does it take for your head and muscles to get tired? But what God has done, He has made the heart different from these muscles. The heart works continuously, resting only during a tiny fraction of a second between each heartbeat. In order to accomplish this tireless task, God equips the heart with specialized cardiac muscles that contain 20 to 30 times more what we call batteries in the cells. These are mitochondria, the energy generator. So your heart muscle has 20 or 30 times more of these than these muscles do. Again, God's great design. As a result of all this work, the heart racks up some impressive statistics. I want to give you some of these. For some who live, if you're 75 years old, the average heart's work will comprise more than 2.7 billion heartbeats in a lifetime. Even in a single day, most hearts will beat around 100,000 times. If you're young and in love, it might be 120,000 times. Over those 75 years, if you've lived that long, the heart will pump more than a billion barrels of blood. Enough blood to fill a 4 oil tankers. Hard to imagine. Yet as impressive as all this is, the heart must be more than a mere pump to keep us alive. It must know the needs of our body at any given moment and be able to instantly respond with a change of pace. For instance, when I got up out of that seat there, my heart had to change and give me enough blood so that I wouldn't have a problem. As you see, people get up too quickly sometimes. As we get older, you might tend to pass out. You don't have enough oxygen going into your system. It may cause disorientation. So how does the heart know what you're doing? To decide what our heart rate should be at any given moment, it must intelligently process information simultaneously from 3 different sources. It must process information from the brain, from hormone levels in the blood, and from the heart's very own internal nervous system. Believe it or not, our heart has a collection of over 40,000 neurons, much like the brain. Along with its own unique nervous system, the heart has its own internal power source. There are specialized bundles in our heart that generate each electrical impulse that makes the muscles contract, and they also regulate that impulse, ensuring that its trip through the muscles is delayed halfway through for a precise fraction of a second that keep the atrium ventricles in sync, one beating after the other. Love dub, love dub, love dub. While all this may sound like we fully understand the human heart, obviously it's one of the most studied organs in the entire body, and so we don't understand it completely. But it is a marvel of God's creation that still holds so many mysteries. For example, a recent study that they point out in this article here, a medical study found that individuals whose heart rates experienced certain variation were also more likely to display less biased judgments from a third-person point of view. In other words, those people with that sort of special heart rate could identify, be a good witness for a crime, for instance. They would see it better than people with a different heart rate. I don't know if I would go with that, but that's what this medical study showed. Let's turn to Proverbs, and let's look at a couple of things in Proverbs here. And I want to go to Proverbs 2. Why would one's heart rate, I have to ask, be related in any way to wisdom in perception and judgment? In Proverbs 2, and let's see, what have I got here? 2:10 and 11. 10, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. So maybe the Bible gives us some sort of an answer there. When one is tempted to consider Bible verses such as this, your understanding will keep you. Maybe it really does mean that you have better discretion if your heart rate is correct, let's say. The more we reflect on this wonderful marvel beating within our chest, the more it might make sense that God would use it to symbolize the very center of our emotion. Let's turn over to Proverbs 4, just another page over. And let's read Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So it's actually the center of our life. When the Bible speaks of the heart, and I'll give another one here. We'll turn over to Deuteronomy and read a couple more. It's the center of our life, just as vital to maintain a healthy physical heart for good health and a long and vibrant life. So too does God tell us, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life, which is a New Living Translation of that Proverbs 4 there. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5, and look at 29. 5, verse 29. Oh, that they had such a heart in them, this famous statement that we hear, that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments. God was trying to get Israel to walk the narrow path, and he was saying here, let them go, because I know they want, but I wish that they would hear me and always keep all all my commandments, and it might be well with them and their children forever. And then Deuteronomy 8, over a few pages, and let's read 10 through 14. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you, talking to Israel. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forgot the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Now, if we went through every scripture in the Bible had talked about the heart, we would have a lot to do. But let me close by saying this heart is a biomechanical pump of ingenious design and an information processing machine of virtual instant response and actually astonishing precision. Our lives depend on this marvelously coordinated, highly intelligent system doing its job without fail every day of our lives, every second of our lives. When you need a reminder of the greatness of God and how His love for us is displayed through His design, consider placing your fingers on your wrist, on your neck. Feel your pulse for a few moments. Listen to the rhythm of hymn of our heart continually sings as it continually sings to its